I appreciate the fact that Brother Harold alluded in his prayer to the fact that sometimes our culture around us places special emphasis on certain times of the year, but we are responsible for being Christians 365 days a year, and really nothing changes insofar as what we are to be doing. It cannot be denied that the retail industry and the advertising business have together really forced some things on us. For example, everybody knows, and we've been referring to it for the last few years as the Friday after Thanksgiving as Black Friday. And this year, it seems like there was more advertising hype about Black Friday than anything almost except for pre-Black Friday. It seemed like pre-Black Friday was the bigger sales, and then, oh, by the way, then there's Black Friday. Well, we barely got through Black Friday before Cyber Monday was the next thing on the list just 3 days later. And, of course, Cyber Monday has just about turned into Cyber Week. And for those of you who don't know, cyber is a reference to buying things online or the communicating that's on the internet. And so the idea is you're going to get all of these bargains and deals and specials Cyber Monday and Cyber Week. Except it was interrupted by Giving Tuesday on December the 8th. I'm not sure where that came from. That has kind of snuck up on me. I've just noticed it the last couple of years, but everybody's getting in on it, even some of our Christian schools are and other organizations are getting in on the deal and sending out a request for your money on Giving Tuesday. Tomorrow is Green Monday. I don't know. Don't ask me. I just got 3 or 4 emails this morning about Green Monday. You know what? Today is the Lord's Day. And it's not about merchandising or spending your money or getting you to sign on to anything special except for the fact that worshiping and serving God in a special way on the first day of the week ought to be one of the most important things that we could ever do. We're glad you're here today, and we're, as Derek said, we're especially glad to have some visitors with us this morning, and we hope you'll come back and be with us again. It would be good indeed if more people today would sincerely ask that question that Pilate asked in the reading that Brian read to us a few minutes ago, where he said, "What is truth?" Now, obviously, his question was not a sincere question. Rather, it was a cynical response to what Jesus had just told him. "I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth." One commentator stated that, quote, 2,000 years later, the whole world breathes Pilate's cynicism. And I suppose that's very true regarding the matter of the truth. Some today would say that truth is subjective, depending upon the preference and the opinion of the individual to determine and decide what truth really is for him or her. Others today would insist that truth is a collective judgment, the product of cultural consensus. In other words, whatever we get most people to agree on, that's what the truth is. And yet there are still others who deny the very concept of truth altogether. And so I believe this is a very good time for us to study the subject, the pursuit of truth. I think it would be safe to say that most of us here within this room today have a basic, rudimentary understanding of what truth is. Most of us have been taught to tell the truth, to believe the truth, to obey the truth, to respect the truth, to appreciate the truth. We should take great comfort in the fact that the Scriptures tell us much about the truth, including how important the truth is. And I believe it could be summed up in these basic facts. Number one, truth is from God. God is the source of truth. In John 17:17, Jesus said in His prayer to the Heavenly Father regarding His disciples, "Sanctify them in the truth, for Your word is truth." Now, when Jesus said that in His prayer, that was not the first time that idea had been put forth. In fact, it's echoed throughout Scripture. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28, David said, "O Lord, You are God, and Your words are truth." And then in Psalm 119, verse 151, we read, "You are near, O Lord, and all Your commandments are truth." In the second place, we also understand that truth is knowable. It's not something that is withheld from us. It's not something that God says there's something out there that you're going to get one of these days, but right now you can't have it. No, the truth is there. It's already been presented to us, and we can know it according to what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. "If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But there is also the fact that truth is absolutely essential. It's not something that we can just take it or leave it. It's not something that we can say, "Well, I don't really need the truth." Oh yes, we all need it. In the words of the wise man in Proverbs 23, verse 23, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." In John 14, verse 6, Jesus Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Well, if the truth is so important, then why are there so many people who have these crazy ideas about the truth, and even to the point of rejecting the truth? I believe one reason why many people reject the truth is because of its simplicity. Somewhere we've gotten the idea that if it's from God and if it's really important, then it needs to be so complex and complicated we need a whole room full of Bible scholars to be able to tell us what it is and how to use it. Now, you and I know that's not true. The Word of God is so simple. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went camping one weekend. They were probably practicing for a men's retreat. In the middle of the night, Holmes turned to Watson and he said, "Watson, are you awake?" "I am," replied the ever faithful Watson. Holmes said, "Look up and tell me what you see." Watson said, "I see millions and millions of stars." Holmes said, "And what does that tell you?" Watson replied, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Theologically, it tells me that God is great and that we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it tells me that we'll have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you, Holmes? Holmes answered simply, "Someone stole our tent." You know, sometimes the simplest of things are the most important things, and they are the things that we, for whatever reason, don't even notice. Not only because of its simplicity, but I think a lot of people reject the truth as the scriptures represent the truth because the truth is somewhat inflexible. So many people today want the truth to be relative or related to and dependent upon your circumstances, your situation, your background, or even your point of view. Our culture is propped up with a morality that is based entirely upon point of view. In other words, if something is offensive or wrong to you, it may not be offensive or wrong to the next person, depending on what he or she is used to, depending on how they've been taught, or even depending on their opinions of things. Therefore, concludes this idea of truth, it's not right or wrong for everyone, just those who share your point of view. Well, that's mighty nice. But that is not the basis of the truth of God's Word. It's not something that means one thing to one person and something else to somebody else, depending on where they're from or how they were trained. It's not something that'll change as times change or circumstances change. It is not flexible in that regard. And therefore, a lot of people reject it. Now, this third reason I want to suggest to you is really bizarre because there are some who reject the idea of absolute truth because, as we say, it's not man-made. It's not something that originated in human thinking. Some folks are so caught up with the supremacy of human thought that they reject anything that seems to come from a higher source than human philosophy. I don't believe those are very complimentary words to be spoken of anybody either. Colossians 2, verse 8, Paul says to those Christians in Colossae, warning them, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Human philosophy, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, that's where everybody's telling us that we need to be today. But the problem is that represents and necessitates a shift away from what is taught in God's Word. So for the rest of our time this morning, let's take a look at some of these shifts in thinking that some people are falling victim to. I would suggest, number one, there is the shift from exclusive to inclusive. The verse we referred to a few minutes ago, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, To put it bluntly, that is a rather exclusive claim. Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. I am the way and the truth and the life. And because that is so exclusive on the part of Jesus, there are actually a lot of people who are not satisfied with that. They say that it needs to be broader and it needs to be more inclusive. And what was once accepted to be the truth as exclusive, as absolute, is not finding acceptance among a lot of people in today's generation. And some have even suggested that part of the problem is in the way that our educational system is training young people. They seem to be trained to question everything and to disregard and put aside whatever does not work for them in their lives. We're not being asked to believe that there is only one way of salvation, and that is through the truth. Rather, we are being asked today to believe that everybody's religion is valid as long as they are sincere. In other words, we're being told that we need to be more inclusive of everybody in the name of religion. And this has given birth to a popular belief known as pluralism. The belief that no one single explanation or system of belief can explain the reality for everybody. According to pluralism, each religion or belief system is equally valid and is the search for truth within a particular person that validates his own spiritual beliefs, whatever they are. And so if I'm sincere about worshiping rocks and grass, then this is a valid religious experience for me, the idea is. This shift from exclusive to inclusive is something that's been very subtle. The devil works that way because it works well. If we had suddenly bounced from where we were 50 years ago to where we are today, it would have been a shocker for everybody, wouldn't it? But now, because it's all been infiltrating through our educational system and modern religions, we wake up one day and all of a sudden, there's nothing exclusive about obeying God. Anybody can do it any old way, and it's good enough. That's where we've come to. And we've scarcely realized how it has happened. There is also the shift from absolute to relative. We're being asked to believe that truth is not the same for everybody. It means different things to different people based on their background, circumstances, and training, and on, as we've said. In other words, if it suits you well, then it must be true for you. May not be for the next guy that comes along, but that's his business. The most frustrating thing about all of this is the utter foolishness of it. A relativist believes, remember the old slogan, if it feels good, do it? That's the idea behind this. If you like it, must be right. Punch him in the nose and tell him that your truth is that nose punching is okay and that he'll have to accept it. I promise you it won't be acceptable to him. That's how foolish this idea is. As long as you like it, as long as it seems good to you, then it's great. It's the truth. No. God says what truth is. And that's our next point. This shift from divine to human. Our culture today wants to remove God from anything and everything and elevate man to God's level. We're being told that Christianity is okay so long as you realize it's only one of many ways that one can approach the truth. We've got a large segment of our society today who would consider Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey to have just as much weight as God. No pun intended. Obviously, these are some dangerous shifts. Why is this happening? I think there are several reasons for some of these shifts. In our society today, tolerance and unity are very desirable. Now, to be sure, peace and unity are enjoined upon us by the Scriptures, but what is not taught in Scripture is the idea that we should teach that everybody is right and conflicts will all just disappear. When I read the Bible, I come away with the impression that truth, God's truth, is not to be sacrificed for anything. Some have shifted in their views of the truth because they seek justification for their actions. I've known some folks who have held steadfastly to a certain belief or doctrine, and then because of something that happened or something that someone said or some circumstance that developed in their lives, they no longer believe that anymore. I've seen it take place on every subject you could imagine: divorce, homosexuality, on and on. If you find yourself pregnant and not wanting a child, if you're able to remove morality from the abortion issue in your mind, you'll be a lot better able to deal with the guilt. At least that's the idea. And so, if I want to have an abortion, I'm going to have to convince myself that there's nothing wrong with murdering unborn babies. That is exactly the path that far too many people have taken. Some have shifted their views of the truth in order to avoid accountability. Because you see, if we don't believe that God dispenses truth, then we don't have to worry about making sure our lives are pleasing to Him. If we can believe that truth is determined by the individual, then we can set the bar wherever we want it to be, and then we can even move it up or down as we desire. You see, relativism, which is the idea that says truth is relative to the different people, to the different circumstances, situational ethics, we used to call it. Relativism sets up a fantasy world in which you no longer have to face being wrong or failing, because reality is whatever you make it. Let's conclude our study by taking a look just very quickly at some of the results of these shifts. What's happening around us as a result of this changed thinking on truth? Two very big things I would suggest. Number one, a definite decline in morality all across our land. When you take away truth, things fall apart. You see, our nation was founded upon the principles of truth, the fact that God's Word is the standard. That idea is reflected in many of the laws of our land. And that idea is becoming increasingly scarce in not only the laws that are enacted, but in the very attitudes of our political leaders today. We are at a point at which it seems the majority of opinion is God's got no business in our business. And though we have no other way to explain a declining moral structure throughout our land, those who want to believe that truth is whatever you want to make it hold stubbornly to that idea, regardless of the results of it. Instead of asking what is good, people now ask what feels good. And they make adjustments in their morals accordingly. And none of us is so withdrawn from society that we don't see daily reminders of the decay and the decline of the moral standards of our nation. And obviously, when the moral situation all around us declines, it makes it that much more difficult to convince people of the need for the truth of God's Word. Therefore, there is a general weakening of our foundations. In Psalm 11, in verse 3, the psalmist asks the question, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The point there seems to be the fact that despite the efforts, the best efforts of good people, when worldliness becomes so rampant and powerful, it's difficult to make progress. Of course, and obviously, we're not working by ourselves. God has not forsaken us. He is with us. He will help us. But some people resist God to the very end. The fact is, this new truth stuff is attractive to a lot of people. I see a lot of people going along with it. I see a lot of people who actually claim to be God's people, laying aside the principles of God's truth. Unless we stand on the unchanging biblical foundation of truth in this ever-changing world, there is no hope for us. The watered-down truth of human philosophy offers a much different looking, quote-unquote, Christianity from what we see in the Bible. And we dare not fall for it. Where do you stand in regard to your relationship with the truth? Are you serving God with your life? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If not, the truth is you need to believe in Jesus as God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If Perhaps you've already done that, but have become unfaithful in your service to God. You need to come back and be restored. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.